The Becker's team is excited to be making our return to in-person events this fall. Join us in September for Becker's Hospital Review 6th Annual Health IT and Revenue Cycle Conference. We have opportunities to attend the in-person program in Chicago and also to join us virtually from the comfort of your own home. For information about registering and to find out if you are eligible to attend free of charge, reach out to us at registration@beckershealthcare.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Zerman with Becker's Healthcare. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined for a discussion on user access review. So before we begin, I just want to quickly introduce our speaker, Daniel Fabry, Chief Data Scientist at SecureLeak. Dan, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thanks for spending a few minutes talking about what I think is a pretty important topic.
For sure. So, I mean, let's dive in here then. So to begin, can you talk about how you see sort of the cyber threat landscape in healthcare today?
Yeah, I mean, we all see this in the news. There's threats from ransomware to phishing attacks, from attacks outside of organizations, from nation states, to everything to insiders trying to hack in or use inappropriately sensitive patient records. And this is all because, you know, the value of medical records over the years continues to grow. Some organizations have pointed out that the value of the data stored in medical records is even more valuable than credit cards. And that sensitivity of that information, whether it's diagnosis information about HIV, the past medical history, insurance information to impersonate another individual, has tremendous value, has tremendous sensitivity for those people that the data is about. And therefore, it has also huge implications if you were to take down a health system and prevent organizations from providing care. There really is this huge potential risk from business operations, from healthcare providers, with all these threats across the world. And the really, you know, the way I think about it is, you know, we have kind of two main types of threats. You know, I look at security as making sure that from the outside, we're preventing attackers on the outside from coming into organizations in the healthcare world. And on the inside, we have privacy, where we're trying to ensure that the people who we entrust to have access to this data are using the data appropriately. And there's really many different types of challenges in the healthcare landscape today to prevent and detect these security and privacy issues. And there's a lot of different challenges. And so happy to provide a little bit more insight into some of these things and the details about why it's challenging going forward, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you did a good job at sort of laying out the sensitivity and the value of the data, and then also having this outside-inside game of working to protect it. So thinking about that, you know, what are some key components of an optimal health system cybersecurity strategy? Can you dig in a little bit there?
Yeah, so let me like lay the foundation for that of why it's hard first, and then we'll talk a little bit about kind of the key components. So the first thing you need to remember is that whenever you talk about privacy and security, there's this trade-off between the utility of the organization and how effective employees are able to work and the privacy and security controls that you put in place. And so if you have perfect privacy and security, meaning no one can access anyone's data, the utility for healthcare providers is zero. Similarly, if the utility of the system is perfect, meaning that anyone can access any data, you then have no privacy and security. And as you add additional controls, multi-factor authentication, stricter access controls, more monitoring, you're improving the privacy and security of the system, but potentially impacting the utility of the healthcare organization. And this is particularly important because healthcare is a game of sometimes minutes or seconds for making sure people survive. And if you block access to information when, for example, an emergency room physician is trying to treat a patient and they can't access the medications they're allergic to or past medical history, you can cause harm. And so for this reason, one of the interesting dynamics we see in healthcare is really this, what I would call a broader access environment, meaning once you log in and are an authenticated employee of an organization through multi-factor authentication and other tools like that, you essentially can access any patient's medical record, which means that if you can break into a system and gain access to an account, either through phishing or some other types of network intrusion, you have the ability to access a broad amount of data due to these broad access rates. So given this trade-off of privacy and security and to kind of this broader access rights we see in healthcare and the threat of people gaining insider accounts, there are three real controls that we often like to talk about to help ensure that the threats are mitigated for privacy security risks in the healthcare space. So the first is that of zero trust. So zero trust network access primarily means that when you are gaining access to a sensitive or regulated or restricted application, instead of you just going on a VPN where you have broad access to a bunch of applications, it's much more point to point. That you, when you log into a application, you are getting a direct connection to that application, and you can't just go from one application to another and try to access those systems. So zero trust network controls allows you to limit which users have access to which sensitive system. And this really is your kind of starting point going forward. We've seen over the years a number of different attacks where if you have public-facing systems or broad VPN credentials, that attackers can leverage these broad controls or open public access points to circumvent controls, break into systems, and leverage and gain access to this sensitive data. Zero trust networking really is kind of that first step to limit your potential exposure and block down potential risks to sensitive applications. Now, the second point is access monitoring. Once you have a zero point system that kind of limits who can access which applications that are sensitive, the second point is we need to monitor access of employees and other users on those applications to make sure they're using that data appropriately. Now, it's important to remember, as I stated before, that access rights in healthcare are typically pretty broad. Once you get into an environment, your goal is to just access the data you are responsible for or need based off treatment, payment, and healthcare operational reasons. Right? If you're a cancer doctor treating an oncology patient, you have a valid reason for accessing that record. But if you are an employee who's working in the middle of the night and is bored, you shouldn't be just randomly surfing across a bunch of different patient charts, which unfortunately does happen. And so the objective of an effective monitoring system in healthcare today is to essentially look through all accesses, millions upon accesses per day to healthcare systems like Epic, Cerner, and all the other EMRs out there, monitor those accesses and identify those accesses that are not necessarily occurring for valid treatment, payment, and healthcare operational reasons. And if those do occur, alert the privacy, compliance, and other regulatory and risk members of an organization to follow up and potentially take appropriate actions to prevent them again, or also provide recourse to the employee for their potentially inappropriate behavior. So that's step two, monitoring access. The last step, step three, is really what I think is something that we often don't talk enough about, which is user access review or access management. So we talked in the first step about zero trust, making sure you only the right users can access the right applications. And that was step one. Step two is monitoring access to each application. Step three is really doing a regular review on ensuring that those people that do have access should continue to have access, whether they've changed roles, changed responsibilities, left your organization. And unfortunately, what we've seen across the healthcare space and outside of healthcare and other regulatory environments, whether it be gas, electric, et cetera, is that access and accounts typically are left open when employees change roles, when employees leave, et cetera. And while accounts may be locked down at a central Active Directory or single sign-on system, accounts at each individual application may not be closed. And so those access environments, unfortunately, allow for attackers to potentially hit on those different locations, try to break through the security controls, and gain access to sensitive systems. And so really doing a good user access review and verifying who should have access to which systems and reducing that access creep, this inertia in access, is really something that is an important step that many organizations kind of see as a laborious task that doesn't always get completed. So just to repeat, the three things that kind of we think see as key components for healthcare system cybersecurity strategy is a zero trust network, monitoring access, and then doing access management with user access review.
I appreciate you laying all that out and sort of how you initially sort of described this unique challenge in healthcare security is that, it can't impede or slow care delivery, when you're trying to allow access to data, but at the same time, it's so important to keep it safe. And I want to drill down on the user access review piece of this, just because I imagine that can be a real challenge sometimes or an unmet sort of need to address in health systems that are sprawling and large, right, with so many different staff members moving around. So can you talk more about user access review in healthcare and perhaps drill down on why it's specifically so important to a healthcare organization's security?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. So, you know, if you think about healthcare organizations today, often, you know, we see a lot of mergers and acquisitions, meaning that those organizations are bringing together a bunch of disparate systems. That means often those systems don't share the same single sign-on ID or maybe even have different identifiers for their primary key of the employee. And on top of that, you have tens of thousands of employees in some of the largest healthcare organizations in the world, in the US, or even moderate-sized organizations have tens of thousands of employees, each with access to tens, if not dozens, of different systems, all which have sensitive data. And so a user access review, really the process there is ensuring that as people have access to these sensitive systems, that you ensure that you continue, that they continue to need access over time. And this is important for a number of legal and regulatory requirements, whether if you're a public entity required for Sarbanes-Oxley Section 404, or if you are a high trust certified vendor or system, or just a best practice security control locking down accounts. You know, this is one, I think, one of the most basic things of kind of block and tackling you can do for privacy and security, right? Limiting who should have access to what systems and making sure those access rights are not too broad. And to take it a step further, it's not just access to which applications, it's also what privileges and access rights each user has within those applications. Do they have the ability to modify a record, or can they just view information? Do they have the ability to export, right? All these different types of access rights are privileges for each user that should be monitored on a regular basis to ensure best practice security controls. And an analogy I like to give here is kind of a medieval analogy, in the sense of, like, you know, if you have a castle with a bunch of different doors or gates you need to defend, right? If you have a single point that you have to defend, it's much easier for you to allocate resource and have visibility on that kind of attack landscape. In contrast, if you have thousands upon thousands of different doors that can be attacked, and many of those you don't even know are still available for an attacker to get to, that kind of leaves you open for a vulnerability, right? And we saw this with, I think, the Colonial breach reported a few months ago, where you had a VPN account that was just kind of left open and sat around for a while that wasn't necessarily deleted. And because of that, attackers were able to keep banging on that and eventually break through. In kind of this medieval example, you know, if you were to, you know, have a moat in front of those doors so you couldn't even reach that door in the first place to bang on it, attackers can't even get through. And so really that kind of frames why the importance of a user access review process is important. It really kind of reduces your footprint of potential exposure for phishing attacks and other organizational threats. You know, and people who, when they do user access reviews more robustly, they find that they're reducing their footprint in terms of the number of access accounts or access or open privileges that they have available, whether it's tens of thousands of access rights, 10% of all the accounts maybe that are available to organization employees, really reducing that footprint is key. And so when you can shut down these open points to an organization and really reject access rights, you're really kind of changing the paradigm from, we'll give you access to the system, we'll give an employee access to a sensitive application, and it will just be kept open in perpetuity. Really, with a user access review, what you're pushing to do is shut down accounts immediately upon the user no longer needing access, or if your HR system doesn't have that capability, making that process much more of a regular process on a monthly, quarterly, or even annual basis to reduce that footprint going forward. It's really the most basic type of security control.
Yeah, you really did a great job of sort of, you know, that metaphor helped me sort of conceptualize how this process can really protect and eliminate those vulnerabilities and shrink that footprint, as you talked about. But maybe can you talk about some challenges here to user review optimization, even if an organization knows this is important and wants to execute it? What are some challenges or barriers they might run into, and how can they potentially overcome these?
Yeah, I mean, so when you kind of say it from the beginning here, you know, it's just reviewing access to for each employee or each user, each sensitive application, you might think, oh, that's trivial. That's kind of the most basic block and tackling of system control and process. Why does this go unmanaged well? And really, what we see today is, unfortunately, it's just a tremendously laborious, time-consuming process, often involving huge spreadsheets of thousands of employees and thousands of systems that then get emailed around organizations to manage. And if you've ever seen, you know, processes that are managed by large spreadsheets in email, often, you know, those processes are incomplete. For lack of better words, inertia is a very strong force. And essentially what happens is, you know, it's much easier to continue to grant people access rights going forward than it is to reject access. And, you know, there's also this kind of fear in the healthcare landscape of if you reject access to an application and some physician calls in saying, hey, why did you remove my access? You know, that can be a little stressful. And so because of that, because of the scale, because of the labor intensive component, it often is not done super well in terms of reducing footprint. The other problem here that we find often is that these user access reviews are often pushed to a central IT leader who is responsible for doing all the review and rejecting privilege. And as you can imagine, these central IT leaders don't know all the thousands upon thousands of other staff members who have access to each system. You know, they really don't know Dr. Bob who needs access to Epic or Cerner or whatever, and really kind of just continue on granting access even though that physician's role might have changed over time. And this leads to a number of poor situations, right? The IT leader just continues granting access, or they just want to continue the access rights going forward without necessarily providing the most strict controls. And so really what we see as kind of a paradigm shift in user access review management is really instead of focusing all that work on a central IT leader, is really trying to change that paradigm to a divide and conquer approach, or you can also put it as a crowdsourcing approach, where instead of having a central IT leader do all your user access reviews, that you push down that work to all the frontline managers and other directors in an organization who have context with respect to who needs access to which systems based off their current roles and responsibilities, right? Really, the idea here is that if you give work to for user access review, security and privacy controls to the frontline managers, they have context of this employee is currently on my team. They need access to this given system to do their job, and therefore they rightly need access to the system. In contrast, they know immediately when an employee has changed services, changed roles, left the organization, et cetera, and have much more fine-grained context of if an access right should be rejected. And so for all those reasons, we think that dispersing the work, dividing and conquering access review gives you a number of benefits, from making it such that the average time to complete a user access review goes from hours for one employee to tens of minutes for each manager, making it much more accurate because the context that's available for each employee is much more fine-grained and is more respective of the current role and responsibility of the employee. And it also allows us to make sure that compliance and security responsibilities are kind of an organizational process rather than just being something that's done by central IT. And having that shared responsibility, I think, is extremely important. And so kind of really, in summary, doing a user access review is kind of the most basic block and tackling of an organization, but it really only is effective when you kind of divide and conquer and crowdsource those security controls across the organization and make it part of a regular process to restrict access to an organization's most sensitive data that patients are entrusting organizations to monitor. And so I think that's kind of really how you kind of optimize the user access review process. And really going forward, switching from a spreadsheet-based approach to having tools and technology really operationalize those processes going forward.
Thank you, Dan. And just one quick follow-up here before I ask you for some closing comments. I think the divide and conquer sort of methodology here makes a ton of sense to me. But I'm curious if you could talk about how you generate buy-in when you put this duty in frontline managers' hands, and how can you give that work to them in a way that makes it a relatively easy lift? Do you really need to communicate the why here, why it's so important? Is that such a big piece of this?
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, right? Why does anyone want to do this type of review beyond the check the box compliance? There's a couple of things that we found to be extremely successful. One, you have to make everyone in your organization buy into the privacy and security controls of the organization to prevent future attacks, right? You don't want your organization to suffer from a ransomware attack. You want to provide the great and best care you can. And having access to your systems is imperative to do that. So you want to make everyone believe in the importance of security and privacy controls. The other thing is to focus this in terms of ROI. Often we find that managers may not be the most, sensitive to security and privacy controls, but if they can save some money for hiring more staff to do their job or saving some dollars to be more effective, that can be a motivating point. And so by doing a user access review, one of the interesting results is that by closing down accounts more quickly, you can actually save dollars on these per head or per seat licenses that you may be paying for your EMR or for other applications that, in some cases can be hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. And those cost savings of doing a user access review, not on just the security side benefit, but also on the licensing costs and kind of just, housekeeping costs, have values for managers, have value for staff, and overall just create a better culture, I think, in operational performance. And so that's kind of how we've seen about doing this. You also have the other full extreme of, if you don't do this, your account access will be blocked. And when you have a bunch of employees that have their access rights blocked and they can't do their job, the managers definitely will feel that. And that's kind of the extreme approach there as well.
Gotcha. Thanks for addressing that. Dan, it's been wonderfully informative. I really enjoyed talking with you today. Is there anything to add on this topic that we maybe didn't get to?
I think we covered all the basic points. I think just to restate, we see three key points to ensuring your cybersecurity posture, whether it be having a zero trust network control, two, monitoring access to those sensitive and regulated applications, and three, doing user access review. As you do user access review, it's really important to understand what your current workflow is, whether if it's large spreadsheets or a homegrown built tool. And really then thinking about how you can use software and tools going forward, such like those SecureLink's Access Intelligent Platform, to divide and conquer the user access review with a tool to make your user access review process much more efficient and really help manage your security and privacy posture. The threats that we see today across the privacy and security landscape for healthcare and across all organizations continues to grow. And reducing your footprint on the number of accounts that's out there that can potentially be broken in through is just one of the first steps you can do to better your security posture and make sure your organization is at lower risk going forward. So really thank you for your time today and thank you all for listening.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan. A great place to sort of summarize and finish up for us. So again, really, really appreciate you taking the time and speaking with me today. I also want to thank our podcast sponsor, SecureLink. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com/podcast.